It's Monday afternoon.
Is it Monday?
It's Monday afternoon.
But we have a person in here now. I can see the glow. I can see the
aura. Early glow.
It's called sweat.
I can see the glow. I can see the aura. You know, that's why we talk about holiness and notness.
That's right. I'm not.
Right.
Well, you're holy.
I'm trying.
Reverend Al Hathaway.
But what I will say to you is that we have someone today who's glow. Aww. I mean, they really can't see it in terms of this medium, but I want to try to describe it to you. There's a glow. There's an aura. And when we say her name, you will know that this is a special angel.
The great
we
Sloan
have
Brown.
It out with Sloan Brown.
Oh boy, keep going.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, we're totally psyched to have you here. This is
it's cool.
You know, like,
I mean, she knows so much. She's been involved in so much. She's seen so much.
Look who's talking.
Look what's going on. Right?
Come on.
Yes. Yeah.
In your world, which is just ever changing. Right?
Yeah. Whose world hasn't changed?
Right.
That's isn't true. Ever changing, thanks to the last 2 years.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's actually kind of something that I've discovered in my world, is how much everybody's world has changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And especially, there's been no lack of things to report. It seems like the things that, that never ends, right?
Right.
But like in your world, there's a lot of, things that are upside down, the taking over of the Sun Paper by private equity firms and then, sort of like letting it fall apart.
Yeah.
And, these institutions that used to deliver content to consumers are, struggling. You've got the emergence of the Baltimore Banner, which is, an interesting model.
Yeah.
That
still kind of waiting to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, I got an email today about Justin Fenton.
Yes.
And well, talking about,
it starts today. His HBO story.
The filming, right?
The actual story starts today, gets broadcast.
On HBO as of tonight or today?
As of tonight. Right. It starts today, the 25th. It starts today.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's coming to light under, the banner. That's why they're talking about that, obviously.
Sure.
And so tell us how it's changed for you and sort of the challenges that you've had to meet over the past couple of years.
Well, I kind of had some preparation for this because, my career began in broadcasting. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm used to this, except that we used to call it radio.
That's true.
But I saw this happening in television, in particular, local television. The late 80s, companies were merging. I don't know if you remember, there was all this affiliate swapping that was going around, in almost every market in the country. And budgets were being cut. And so, you started seeing a lot of people, including me, at one point being one of those that was let go as budgets continued to be cut. And when I started then working for the Sun in 1999, even before for the previous maybe 6 years, I'd been working freelance in television because that's the only way they were willing to kind of hire for the most part, especially when I kind of covered arts and entertainment. And that's what the Sun did with me. So for the 21 years I worked at the Sun, it was always on a freelance basis, even though I had columns and people assumed I was a staffer.
Right.
It was cheaper for them.
Wow.
And I already saw the kernels of what has now kind of happened with the Sun. But I could see that 20 years ago because I had seen it in television.
Mm-hmm.
They were cutting back. They were having reporters start to do more stories per week than they had before. They then eventually cut back on their copy desk, things because the budgets kept getting cut. And that's actually why I started Baltimore Snap several years ago, because I figured that my particular area was at some point going to end. It was going to be considered an expense that would have to go. So I wanted to kind of keep showing kind of the social landscape of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID just kind of hurried it along.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, I mean,
see you later, social world.
Yeah, also. Yeah, that, you know, March 2020.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so it's had to be almost an immediate adjustment by you. What'd you do?
Well, it was an immediate, wasn't it an immediate adjustment for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything.
For sure.
For all of us. You know, Martin, your work, you have to be on site. Yeah. I can't imagine what that
we
was like
stopped.
For your workers. Yeah,
we
but
never
then,
stopped.
But then talk about masking up and having to like deal with interpersonal, you know, at least everything I did, I could do remotely.
And every company, I think, on the planet, and I'm just going to say it, every company on the planet struggled with the whole vaccination thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, like people that through their own right said, you know, I'm not going to get vaccinated and, you know, that's the way it's going to be. You know, that's a real HR thing.
Right.
You know, like that sort of turned HR on its head.
Yeah.
Because, you know, guess what? Nobody knew how to deal with it. Guess why?
No.
Because it never happened.
Right, exactly. Well, and what about church services?
It made every church in America the same size.
That's true.
So true.
Yeah, that's a great line.
It made everyone the same size. And everyone had to wrestle with, wait a minute. One time we counted the people, the seats in the pews. Now you look up and say, wait a minute, where are our members?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're in cyberspace. And it transformed, it changed the very nature of church.
Are you now dealing with like a hybrid model?
Very much so. Very much so. I retired in August of last year, but our church, as well as many that I know, are now hybrid.
Yeah.
You know, one time they didn't embrace the fact that we are electronic church. They've embraced it.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's the case for all of us going forward. I mean, that's what I keep seeing. You know, I work, as you may know, I now work for the Daily Record.
Yeah.
Right.
I host a podcast for them, as well as do a video interview series called Off the Record. And I help moderate webinars for them. In the Off the Record series, I've been interviewing all sorts of movers and shakers. And I'm always asking them about how have their businesses been impacted in the last 2 years. And that's why I was saying, absolutely everybody has. And so many businesses are going just like yours. Yeah. They're going to a hybrid model. It won't go back what it was.
It's changed. It's changed. It's changed. And if you think about this, technology now has become so important.
Right.
We didn't think of it now as a primary vehicle. You thought of it as ancillary, but now it's a primary vehicle.
For sure.
Right. Right. It kind of forced a lot of folks that were a little resistant to that.
I was in Douglas Memorial last week looking in, you know, his number one concern is indoor air quality for trying to get people to come back these large places where, you know, like if you think of like everybody getting together, you know, and the next thing, your next thought is, oh gosh, it's super spreader event or something, you know, like who ever heard of a super spreader event?
Right.
Like it just, they didn't happen.
Like I interviewed Ed St. John about a year and a half ago. It's like fall of 2020. And what, you know, I was expecting to hear about how all the commercial space stuff that he has, you know, that there was, you know, he had a lot of it languishing. And actually what was happening was that he had a higher demand because now with businesses, they want more space so that people are spaced out. It's not one little desk pod on top of another.
Right. That's right. Right.
Yeah.
Fields of desks.
Yeah.
You know, in an open
and partitions
area
or
whatever it is, right? Those are, you know, going by the wayside.
Yeah.
You know, if you walk into an office building today and, you know, you sit down at your cubicle and you got, you know, three or four people around you, you can have, you know, quiet conversation. But if one of them sneezes or coughs.
Oh, yes.
And it doesn't like sound like, oh, they're just trying to clear their throat.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody's on alert right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really changed our world because people are looking around and saying, what's going on in the air?
Well, you deal with air.
Yeah. All day, every day. We are air.
Yeah. Right. Quite literally.
Literally. You know, we're really trying to steal it.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a, you know, it's been a new thing. You know, we're a healthcare company now. We're not
we're
wrenches company. And we turn wrenches. We do it for the purpose of healthcare.
Right.
And we never knew we were doing that. Everything in the world was driven on temperature.
Wow. That's interesting.
So tell us about our culture. How have you seen changes in culture, improvements in culture? What do we do to enjoy our culture here in the Baltimore area?
Well, you know, I ended up kind of specializing in social and networking events. So as far as culture, you know, whether you have to do with the arts, I'm probably not as knowledgeable. I mean, as far as noticing that more theaters are starting to offer, you know, plays for the first time again, that aren't just online. Social events, a lot of them are popping up again this spring. And a lot of the major ones are returning. It'll be interesting because, you know, if there's another wave, then things will get shut down again too. But
just this past week, we had the AKA regional conference here at the Baltimore Convention Center.
Right, right.
You know, some, 7,000 members of this sorority.
That's amazing, yeah.
I was invited there. I received their Civic Engagement Award.
Mm-hmm.
I had to present a negative COVID test 72 hours before I arrived.
Good.
And then I had to also show them that I had all of my vaccinations.
Yeah.
And that was the protocol.
Yeah.
And that protocol was followed for seven, 8,000 people that attended. And I just realized how sensitive people are now. When you talk about social events and networking.
Right. Well, you know, and some of them are requiring, you know, a vaccination card or a COVID test. I'm trying to think of which ones because I've just started poking my head above ground. I went to Maryland Art Place, celebrated their 20th year of Out of Order. That was Friday. That was packed.
Okay, wow.
Mm-hmm. And I was one of the few people wearing a mask, you know, because I got to get up close to people. Well, people were up close talking because I want to get their names, you know, and information from them, you know, for all the, you know, the photos that I take. Yeah. I think I did have to show my vaccination card when I entered.
Yeah.
So, and I've noticed with some other upcoming, I think like the LifeBridge Gala health care system, I think there is some requirement there.
I'm sure.
And that comes up, I believe it's on, the 8th or the 9th. So I think that, you know, that's what's, it's a mixed bag of kind of what you're seeing.
Well, you know, Sloan, your brand is so powerful. But how did you develop? I mean, Sloan just emerged, and there you are in my living room. There you are. You know what I mean? You're right there. Come on, tell me something about Sloan.
Okay, well, so I didn't grow up in Baltimore.
Have you eaten a crab cake?
No, I've lived here since 1983.
Okay, but that's a good sign.
So yes, I have sampled maybe that once. I grew up in Boulder, Colorado. When I went to college, I thought I wanted to be a theater major and then discovered I didn't like it because I didn't like being somebody other than me. But I sure like the spotlight. But I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. And after kind of 2 years of just kind of not really taking college very seriously, my mother told me I needed to take a break and to have a different, the way she put it, a different form of education called supporting yourself. And my grandfather was a professor at Berkeley, and he and my grandmother owned a little house in Carmel, California. And so my mother set it up that I would go live in Carmel in this one room in the back of the garage. Wow. My mom did not want me to have any, you know, she didn't want me to like just slide.
Yes.
And I had to get a job in Carmel, and I got a job at a gift store, which I promptly was fired from because I kept talking back to the owners and called my mother in tears wanting to come home. No. So then I got a job in a shoe store, and this time I listened. And one day my favorite disc jockey came into the shoe store to buy shoes for his wife, and he became my mentor. And this was in the mid-70s. And he told me that was just at the time when radio was now looking or was allowing women on the air. They hadn't. Women's voices had been considered irritating. And then all of a sudden, after Allison Steele, the Nightbird in New York City took off, everybody was then looking for their token woman disc jockey.
Yep.
And this mentor of mine said, this is the time to jump in. Okay. So I went to a broadcasting school in New York, sold shoes in Bloomingdale's. And then I wanted to go back out to the Monterey Carmel area. And so my mentor said, everybody who gets out of broadcasting school sounds awful. Your audition tape is going to be just as crappy as everybody else's. So get an 8x10 glossy done. You know, he said, take advantage of the times. Sure. And he said, if you're bad on the air, you know, that'll only get you so far. Then you're going to get fired. But sure enough, you know, all program directors were male. I got a nice professional looking headshot and I got offered a job and I went out there and worked overnights and earned minimum wage and had to work in a rock and mineral store. Wow. To supplement my salary. And then a couple years into that, the local weather girl job opened up at a TV station. And all the guys I worked with at the radio station pushed me into trying out. And because I had broadcasting experience and nobody else did, I got hired.
Wow. Meteorologist.
No. Weather girl.
Weather girl. Okay.
I'm kidding. That was like Bubbles, the weather girl. Then this was back when, before chroma key, especially in a small market, it was a painted metal map with magnetic clouds suns and temperatures.
No green board.
No, that was before that. And we didn't have a teleprompter either. Oh, wow. And then a couple months in, they thought I was doing well enough, so they decided to make me the Monterey Peninsula reporter. And I had to learn how to shoot a 16 millimeter camera because you were a one man band. They gave me a magnetic sign that I stuck on my VW bug.
Wow.
And installed a police scanner. And I rode around finding stories and shooting film, learning how to edit.
Cool.
And then this is all on the West Coast. And then I became, and then they said, okay, let's make her an anchor. Wow. And so for the first half of the newscast, I'd be co-anchoring. Then the second half of the newscast, I'd be standing next to the weather map.
Wow.
And when I left there, I was earning a grand total of $12,000 a year.
Wow.
And that was 1979. And I was hired by a station in Salt Lake City. And I worked there for 3.5 years as an anchor. And then I was hired by a station in Baltimore, Channel 2. Right. I came here for that.
Yes. And what year was that? You said 83?
1983.
Yeah.
Station was sold in 87. I was one of several anchors that were let go.
I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Who bought that then?
Oh, gosh. It was this guy, George somebody or other from Kentucky. Yeah. It was a smaller, and then they sold to a bigger.
Hearst or something like
that.
Yeah. No, Hearst owns BAL. Yeah.
Yep, sorry.
So I went from there to, I became the news director at Light 102 Radio for 6 years. And then I really missed television and I liked covering the arts and stuff. So I ended up kind of then selling myself to do it to local stations, doing it freelance. So it was a way they could afford because nobody could justify.
The overhead or whatever.
So I would do a couple of stories a week for Fox 45 and a couple of stories a week for WJLA in DC. Mm-hmm. And then that kind of started to peter out. And then the Sylvia Badger retired from the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time I'd been out and about that then the Sun came calling. There you go.
When you say Channel 2, when you were there with my dear friend and colleague, George Collins,
I love George.
That was just an amazing dynamic period.
Channel 2. It was an interesting time. It was right after, I was hired after their big strike.
Okay, right.
So Channel 2 did not have the best reputation in town.
No, it didn't.
It really burned a lot of bridges with that.
I'll tell you a little more fun. I was a young rabble rouser and this was in the 60s.
Yeah.
And we actually challenged their license in 67. Yeah, Walter Lively and
really? What in 67 because of what?
Because of on-air presence and minorities and
etc. Yeah, so no forth. Diversity.
Exactly. I have a whole track record of that and then I had another with WBAL back when Jeff Bocamps was there. We filed a suit against them.
Keeping them on their toes. Good.
Yeah, that's right.
But rightfully so.
It evolved. We ended up with Dwayne Wickham ended up with a show, Black Horizons. We ended up with with my friend becoming coming here and becoming an anchor. You know, so I mean, it was just you know, the dynamic of media means that the personalities in media must be engaged with the community in such a way
they should
that
also,
you do understand the needs, tastes, and interests.
They should reflect the community.
Exactly.
That's right.
You know, and I fully realize that. I lost a job because of that. Mm. But that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
You know, I also got into, I started my career because of that.
Yes.
Someone else, right?
Well, but also being, you know, a woman, you know, the token woman, because on the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't necessarily because of my stellar talent. it was filling a slot. But then you had to prove yourself.
Yes.
What do you like about, you get to go to all these like events, you know, and you know, you're the, let's get her in there because everybody wants to be in the paper and every event wants to be in the paper and all those. So what do you love about the events?
Well, now it has to be on Baltimore Snap because the paper doesn't.
Right, exactly.
But what do I like about those?
Yeah. I really
like the interaction with people. Mm-hmm. And I also, I think, you know, that you look at like the social section or whatever, and you think that it's kind of the frivolous side of Baltimore. But I think it's actually a really great way to look at who's in Baltimore and what they're doing. And you see this kind of great mix of people. And you get a different, you get a feel for the city, in a very interpersonal way. It's not just reading a paper or, I mean, you're interacting. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, there are some events that definitely appeal to certain social groups. But there are others that are also, and that's fascinating because I can cover an event, you know, that is some highfalutin something or other, and see one particular kind of group of people and watch them interacting, also knowing that I'm watching a lot of power brokers.
Yes.
And you also, you know, often that's where deals are originally made. And then I'll go to something that's, you know, much more open or whatever and see a different kind of mix, you know, a different group. And you realize that everybody, you know, we're all in the same kind of pot together.
Yeah, that's right.
Why don't you just tell us some of the venues that you've been to, some of the places, the spaces?
My
favorite, you know, in recent years, well, that'd have to be like over 2 years ago. Port Covington was doing these really great kind of festivals.
Yes.
There, like Beta City, I always really liked. It's very techie. It's a bit younger. That's really fun to kind of see. Yeah. And there's a lot of energy there. It's very dynamic. And you really kind of see what's coming up in Baltimore. But there was also another series of events there that actually I loved no matter what venue they were in. And that was Jazzy Summer Nights.
Yes. Yes.
Love that.
LaRon Finney and Derek Chase's.
Sure.
The first time I went to one of those and it was being held in that, what is it, like Charles Plaza.
Right. It was in Charles
Plaza.
Yes.
The vibe, the energy was so great.
Yes.
I love that event. So I hope that they restart those.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to
Are
come
they?
Back. Oh, yes. I tagged into it because I was promoting COVID testing.
And yeah.
They connected COVID testing.
Well, sure.
Nice, and it became just absolutely phenomenal. And then
Derek
and LaRon now with Kevin Lyles. Have now emphasizing the entertainment during the Preakness.
All right. Oh, yeah, and actually, they've gotten me involved. They're also doing a Baltimore Met Gala.
Yes, it.
And they've got me on the committee.
Did they get you on the committee?
Yeah, they did. They wrote me in. And normally, that I would use my line of work as an excuse not to go on any committees. But
that's going to be amazing.
That is going to be amazing. So, I mean, other venues, the Baltimore Museum of Art can be really cool. You know, the Walters can be really cool.
Yes.
You know, a lot of places. A lot of organizations that can't afford as much would do the Baltimore Museum of Industry.
Yes.
I think it has more to do, for me, it had more to do with the energy of an event mm-hmm. and less to do with the venue.
Yeah, right. I mean, there is
there can be yeah. there can be a venue that's so-so, but when if the people there are all interesting yeah. And I don't know, interactive, and there's a real energy.
What are you trying to get? You know, you're snapping stuff, right?
Yeah.
You're snapping pics.
Yeah.
When you, like, you know, look through the lens, what is it you're trying to capture?
I'm trying to get a good cross-section of people who are there. And it's fun to see the, you know, VIPs. I kind of think about what would people be interested in. Well, it's fun to see any high mucky mucks, a few of those.
Sure.
But I don't want to concentrate on them because you see them plenty yeah. of places.
Once
it's, what's also fun is if... And it's different than social media where you can take your picture in an event and you can post it. But when it's in, it's on that kind of a platform, you're getting a lot of eyeballs from people who don't necessarily know you. So I want some people I've never photographed too. You know, I think that's fun. So it's basically just looking for a mix.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know? Do you have shots that you've taken over the years that, you know, sort of are in your own hall of fame or just sort of, you look back.
Oh boy.
You ever think about that?
I don't know if I, now, see, you should have told me this ahead of time. Then I could have come up with a really good answer. Cause you know, this will be the thing I'll leave and go, oh, there was that one. I'm sure there have been a couple that I've really enjoyed. And, you know, and I think I've occasionally, there's been some photo that I've liked so much that I've actually like contacted the person individually to go, you know, this is a really good one of you. But mm-hmm. Whenever, you know, at social events, I always take 3 photos of whoever I'm photographing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I'm getting a group of generally 2 to 4 people. There can always be a blink or somebody rolling their eyes.
Yes.
So, you know, in hopes that then everybody looks good. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to then pick photos that show people at their prettiest.
Yeah.
They're not, the photos themselves may not be that artistic. And frankly, I learned how to use a camera as a means to an end. I couldn't tell you what an f-stop was. I put my fancy camera on the word P, on the letter P, just go to it.
Okay.
So, you know, but I want the people to look good so that they don't feel embarrassed about seeing their photos out there.
Yeah.
You know? So that's.
So it's, you know, simple as
well,
the letter P,
know,
for
yeah.
people, right?
Yeah.
It's really not a picture, it
means,
it's people.
I think it means something else, and I can't remember. The photographers at the Sun actually helped instruct me on how to, like, take some of these basic pictures when I started doing some of this stuff for myself or for online for the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
They were very helpful. And I think they were the ones that just said, don't bother trying to figure this stuff out, Sloan.
Sloan, you've had the ability to see this amalgamation of our community become so diverse in terms of its social networking.
Yeah.
I mean, that, I think that has been the big plus.
Right.
You know, back in the day, we had very segregated communities and segregated events. But now you go there and it just shows the rich fabric of,
you know,
city.
It's still somewhat segregated. But that's actually something that then I think became kind of an issue for me, is that I wanted to make sure, you know, particularly that the power brokers, the white population of Baltimore, I wanted them to be aware that there was a strong, vibrant, you know, network in the Black community of really great events,
right.
You know, so that nobody has a corner on this market.
Right.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. Well, nobody should have, and there should be no corners on events and all those things. Although, you know, it's amazing that, you know, you could probably, you know, go to an event and it's 90% white people.
Right.
And might just be, for whatever reason that is, even though we are so diverse here, you know, and you could probably go to an event that's 90% African American.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, like, those things happen.
Right.
You know, it's the, when they come together.
Right. And I do think that it's a good point that there, it is becoming more diverse and there, you are seeing more combinations. And I think, a lot of that has to do with, you know, when you asked about the last 2 years, it isn't just COVID.
Yes.
It's the whole, you know, increase of attention about racial equity.
Yes, it is.
You know, and, you know, to use this inflammatory word, you know, wokeness, but that has some validity. You know, to getting people to be more aware and making a little more of an effort, stepping outside your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, when you ask me, like, what do I like the best? Actually, what I find in these social events is when I step outside my comfort zone, that's the most exciting, you know?
You know, I Fort Covington, of course, the tremendous work they've done to draw people to spaces.
Mm-hmm.
When you think in terms of, you mentioned BMA, the whole garden and what's happening there,
they're
drawn to these spaces. You see the different clubs now, having events. You know, with Martin at the Maryland Club and those events, the engineering club and those events. I mean, you start seeing these amazing spaces open up.
Right.
I think that's the story that we've got to promote to let people know that, yes, there are amazing places that you can discover right here in our city.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, my. I went into the Peabody. I went into Peabody and Library.
The Peabody Library?
Isn't that an amazing space?
It's beautiful. Yeah.
I think we've got to start talking about these amazing spaces that people are seeing and visiting and enjoying. Now COVID is kind of, you know, easing up. But there's much to explore here.
And then especially if you, and generally when you're at a party, you're not learning about the history of the space. No. But there's some pretty interesting stories behind that too.
Oh my, I was Roberta House just at an event at the World Trade Center.
Mm-hmm.
And there we are on the World Trade Center. There's this amazing array of people. And one of the people who came up was Barbara Mikulski. Hey, Senator Bob, wow, you know. I mean, so the Afro just had it's high tea. And they had all the people there with these nice hats on. We're going to go to the pre-.
Great visuals.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that we have to always do is emphasize the positive. Yep. There are so many positive things going on in Baltimore City.
Well, that's actually what I have to say I do like about my career, is that I ended up kind of focusing on that. I would kid that, like, yeah, I cover the fluffy stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I like focusing on the more positive side.
You've seen it. You see it.
Yeah, I'm interested. I want to make sure of, I want to be
aware of.
That's
your brand.
Yeah.
When you see your name, it's going to be something, you know, juicy, sexy.
Ooh, juicy can sometimes not be so positive.
Okay.
But sure can be interesting.
Yes, yeah.
We are not going there.
No, we're not going there. I mean,
that's juicy, another thing that happens at these events is you hear some good gossip.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a lot.
But I never reported any of that. That was something else with the Sun. They said, we don't want our attorneys worrying about you.
Yeah, right. Well, just snap the pictures, right?
Yes.
Yeah, when they tell 1,000 words many times, right?
Not at social events so much.
Yeah. I tell you, you know, it's got to be exciting to go on a new adventure every weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because you're just doing something. And every year, these events, you know, you can cover the Living Classrooms big event every year.
Oh, that's always a good event.
Right?
Yeah.
It's always a great event, but it's always a great event.
Yeah, it
you
is.
You know, the great part about it is it's really always a great event.
Yeah.
Yet, it's different every year.
Right.
It's got sort of a little bit of a different vibe.
You know, when you're saying that, I think what makes it different is that when you go to a social event, you might know, you know, you might be going with friends, so you may have an idea of some other folks who are going, but you never know who you're going to run into. And that's part of the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're saying it's always different, you're going to run into different people at every event. And even if it's the same event every year, you don't know who you're going to run into, whether it's somebody you've already known or who you're going to meet, and what other kind of part of Baltimore you're going to learn about,
mm-hmm.
you know, and part of Baltimore, I just mean another resident or, you know, another human being who, you know, who resides here and has their own experiences here.
Well, I'm going to tell you one of the interesting figures of Baltimore that I don't know well, but every time I've interacted with him, I've been excited about Baltimore, and that's John Waters.
Oh,
yeah.
John is a friend.
Yes.
You know, I've been in 3 of his movies.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh,
actress,
okay.
Radio personality.
Yeah, there we go. Actually, John, let's see. The first time I was an extra in Hairspray.
Okay. Wow, okay.
I'm one of the hair hopper models.
Okay.
At the car show.
Yes.
That's when my hair was its original brown color, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And I have a big beehive. But then I was in Pecker. I played myself. John will only let me play me.
Okay.
He doesn't believe in my acting abilities beyond that.
Right.
So I played yourself. A reporter in Pecker, and then I also played a TV anchor in Cecil B. Demented.
Wow. Oh, but my John, Cecil B. Demented.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm the one on the TV screen announcing that Melanie Griffith has been kidnapped.
Yes.
No, wow. That's funny.
So, but you're right. John, and when I worked in a Channel 2, that's actually how I got to know him, because I loved his perspective on things. Yes. He is the best interview in the world.
Wow. We got to get him on.
We do have to get him on there. We do have to get him
for
on
for sure.
Yeah.
He'd be
great. He is a great interview.
And he loves Baltimore.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, just loves Baltimore. And he's always out in front defending.
Yeah.
And not necessarily defending, I would say, just like being so, he is so positive.
Yes.
It's a shield to the negative that might come around and try and get him to grab onto that. He doesn't grab onto it.
Well, the thing is that, you know, because, you know, when he first started, when he was first, you know, and was before I came to Baltimore, but, you know, there was a, and I don't, of course, he would know her name, obviously, but there was a censor. A woman who kept censoring his movies from being shown. It was a big controversy in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And because he, you know, would break all sorts of taboos. We're not going to talk about some of those famous scenes in his movies. And so the feeling was by some folks in the establishment that he was showing a negative side of Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And I think with John, he embraces the quirks, which...
Yeah, yes.
I like the quirks.
Yes.
Who needs, you know, complete mainstream white bread?
Yes.
No, we're very bohemian city in many, many ways.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things I love about our city.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
diversity. I think, you know, I mentioned his name because I always loved his avant-garde sense of this is what is natural.
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. You're right. Yes. You are absolutely right.
And
this coming from a reverend.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And for those of us,
twice
you know,
holy.
Yeah, those of us
twice
in
holy.
Baltimore,
yes.
We know that that's the part of it. It is not, this is, you can't, this is not a cookie cutter city.
Right.
Cookie cutter.
Cookie cutter.
That's
cookie
right.
Cookie cutter.
Yeah. Yeah. This is different.
Yeah.
Yes. It's special.
There's no question.
It is.
It's exciting.
We're weird
and John,
pieces of puzzles.
And John, you know? Has helped make us that way.
He has.
No question.
He has. That's
He's encouraged that.
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
That's
and initially people thought that, you know, it was the opposite, but no, it was like.
Embrace your hun.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep. That's why I've always admired him.
Yep.
Because he freed us to be us.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's another good line.
People are getting my lines.
Are you writing these down?
That 1,000 today. What was the other one? I've already forgotten.
Oh, had to do with the church that it's
all the same size.
All the same size. That's
the
right.
There we go.
It's so true. Size. So true. Well, you know, it's so funny. You know, as big as cities are, as small as cities are, you know, they're all the same size because they all have communities. Inside of those cities,
right.
You know, and inside of those communities are people.
Right.
And, you know, people that do things that are fun, celebrating their lives, you know,
right.
Raising money, doing good things. You know, a lot of what you get
right.
to cover is really positive,
yes.
too.
You're right.
You know, like the ball for the raising of whatever it
yes.
might be, the heart ball.
Exactly.
You name it, right? Like, but there's real passion around that.
I'm actually wouldn't cover something that was trying to raise money for something that was negative or nasty or
right.
So, regardless of whether it's a social gathering or not.
Yeah, you get to choose that, right?
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Okay. Yeah,
I slipped by it. I just mentioned it, but you've got to tell me where you found your best Baltimore crab cake.
Well, you know, I'm not the best person.
You're not the best
for
person.
Crab cake picking, you know, because I like crab cakes, but it's not like
is
I.
Is that yours?
No, I.
Well, let's tell us what you do like. Come
oh
on
boy,
now.
What,
Come on
what do I, man?
You know,
what's your favorite restaurant? Where do you live? You live in Locust Point, maybe? Or
yeah, no? Kind of Federal Hill, Locust Point.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like 1157 a lot.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
They do have really good
that
Brussels sprouts.
Good.
They were one of the first places that did. Kind of the really cool Brussels sprouts for appetizers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 2 years Sarah into COVID, Curtis. I'm like, I've baked so many Brussels sprouts in the last 2 years.
Everybody became a cook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like kitchens were a thing.
Yeah, I still am because my husband is a shrink.
Yeah.
And he's been practicing virtually out of his home office.
Oh, gosh. Wow. So gotta be going. I am still.
Yeah. No, he's okay with it. I mean, and, you know, he has patients find it so much easier because they don't have to add into their schedule drive time, transportation, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's in front of their computer, you know, for the 50 minutes that they're with them. Yeah. And you know, it, he's fine with it.
Yeah.
Especially with me doing all the cooking. Yeah, he is. He's a good guy.
Wow.
He's very big.
How do you handle that dynamic? Is he analyzing you or are you analyzing
him? You know, people have asked me that. We've been together now for so long that I know how to throw it right back in his face. I don't have quite the same credentials.
Okay.
But
Jedi mind trick, right?
Yeah. But he doesn't come at you. You know, Martin knows him.
Yes.
He does not come across as a shrinky kind of guy. Okay. You know, he doesn't come across as all studious. And, you know, he actually has a really lame sense of humor. he's like very, you know, sometimes I refer to him as J-O-G, which is jokey old guy.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
But that's, and he. If he listens to this, he's going to kill me for that one. But he has a great sense of humor.
That's great.
And he's a pretty relaxed
guy. No, totally relaxed. And, you know, there's another guy, cares about Baltimore.
Yeah.
He's invested heavily in some of our elected officials along the way, Martin O'Malley being one of them.
Yep.
You know, made many a call to him. And, you know, I got the sense that, you know, he was doing his thing in a very similar way that you're doing your thing, reporting the good things. And he was looking forward to, you know, promoting the good things. And, you know, he's active in the nonprofit community and, you know, it's, I think it's awesome.
And that kind of, and he's a little more behind the scenes with that, but I think he prefers that.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get Barracudas, which is over in that area, has a heck of a crab cake.
Okay.
See you guys in your crab
cake. I'm always
looking, you know. I'm always seeing and seeking up, you know.
Okay, what's the, see, this is how, you know, ignorant I am. What's the place that's famous?
Fadley's. Yep.
No, the one that's like further south, G&M?
Oh, G&M.
G&M.
Yeah. They're okay.
They just moved, though. But they
did they? Okay.
Yeah, I think they are, but Baltimoreans wouldn't. Go be a first.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a friend of mine, a Baltimorean, who when she and her significant other go out, they will bring us back.
Okay.
Because apparently they occasionally crave those.
So we get those.
They're craveable and they're open at night, which is their advantage over Fadley's. But you would never pass Fadley's to go to G&M.
Never.
That'd be a mistake.
Yeah.
Now, if you're on the south side in between, you still don't have a good excuse. But, you know. That's just our opinion, of course.
No, but I think your opinion is much more valid than mine.
Johnny Appleseed, New York Times, Food Network, you know, a couple
and,
others.
And if you're up north and you don't feel like coming, you stop at Coco's, you know.
Yeah, that's right. You can get a great crab cake at Coco's. Yeah. And there's, you know, Timbuktu has a crab cake that, that'll give you a nap.
Yes.
That thing really?
Is so massive. I mean, immediate nap.
Yes.
So not, you know, everybody that's working around there in the Hanover, you know, not only do they not have enough oxygen in their buildings after 12 o'clock, but they've had a Timbuktu crab cake.
Yep.
Zero productivity in the afternoon. You know, the productivity at Northrop Grumman, down every afternoon, you know, Allegis, all those other companies over there. You know, it's like eating a watermelon.
It really is.
Except the watermelon's mostly water.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, and so I want to hear about it's called Snap.
Baltimore Snap.
Yes.
BaltimoreSnap.com. You know, it's been a little quiet the last couple of years, but what we have done is we've kept the social calendar going. So even when there were virtual events, and if you go on there, the calendar shows you it's the only calendar in town that only shows social events. You're not going to see a play or a concert or a lecture unless there is some sort of reception, some sort of socializing aspect involved. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at things to do with, so you're interacting with other people, and we include business things, and they of course have to be open to the public.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So we do that, and then I pick various events to go cover and take some photos, and I, you know, again, I kind of finally stuck my head above ground just this last weekend to do mm-hmm. MAP, and I'll start to do a few more.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody's looking for something to do,
yeah,
they can find it.
Oh, yeah, BaltimoreSnap.com.
BaltimoreSnap.com.
Just go on the event calendar.
And wow.
Yeah.
All the open events that are happening yep. to promote Baltimore
yes.
and
oh,
or
yeah.
some type and of cultural Baltimore-centered. Thing, whatever
do,
it is.
Yeah, we do end up, you know, we do some stuff in Baltimore County and occasionally a little further south or whatever, but mm-hmm. it is, you know, or Howard County, but it's generally.
Plenty to do right Baltimore. Here in our yeah. own city,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You have a podcast attached to that, or is that something separate?
Yeah, I do a podcast for the Daily Record okay, that we just right. kicked off called Women's Perspectives.
Wow. Oh, great.
So so it's various, you know, obviously interesting women. We I actually am taping one tomorrow.
Who do you got?
Tomorrow, it's Michelle Seery.
Okay.
But we will not be talking politics.
Mm. Good.
But the first one was Alicia Wilson.
Okay.
Awesome.
And so. Then, boy, this is awful. Am I forgetting who I just did? Yeesh. I think I am.
It happens to the best of us.
Oh, sure.
Boy.
Oh, sure.
That's you what, know, our that, list is.
But if you go on to the Daily Record, and actually the podcast, as well as Off the Record, are not behind the paywall.
Okay.
So
okay.
you can listen to or watch. Without having to subscribe.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to do a series. Rev and I are going to do a series about women leadership. You know,
oh, sure.
in some of our larger organizations, there was a woman that was just promoted at T. Rowe Price into,
yes.
yeah.
You know, C-suite. And, you know, of course, we've got Redonda over at Hopkins and many others. I mean, who were we?
Just, I mean, can you imagine?
Maria yeah. Oh, and actually, you know, oh yeah, Maria was just Tilden. On a webinar
yep.
that I She's just, and the other
it.
Person I just interviewed was Marianne Scully. Wow,
yes.
you talk
yes.
about a powerhouse.
Oh my,
whoa.
Yeah. Now that she's going
yeah,
to academia.
Right.
Yeah, she's going
academia.
To Loyola, yeah.
We'll have
yeah.
to get her on board.
We got
to
get
yes.
on.
Yes, she's
get on.
Fascinating.
And what a great, you know, like the one thing about banking is you get to see a lot of different companies.
Yes.
And how they
oh, yes, yes.
operate
right.
and what makes them tick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all into the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And the bank has to have a really good knowledge. And I think her ability to go and apply that and teach that
oh,
practical,
sure.
real-world experience
right.
is going to be a huge benefit to those kids that are up there rolling through that MBA program.
Yeah.
And, you For know, sure. what a gift.
Well,
What
yeah.
a gift for her to give that time.
Oh, yeah,
she could
sure.
do anything she wants.
Right.
And to be able to, and it's going to be thrilling to see, you know, I taught for a couple of years out at McDonough. It's a thrill.
I would take a class.
Yeah, my daughter was yeah. in was a manager in marketing at McCormick for years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And she retired, took an early retirement, and she's now a professor at Loyola.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
And I think, particularly in the area of business, I think it's really important that you have people who have actually been successful in that area
mm-hmm.
so that old adage of those who can't teach.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right? These are people who did, could, and did, and they're now sharing their knowledge.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
See, it's important in business just as that you really have to look at business as a case. This is a case, and this is what we learn from
right.
it. This, you know, it can't be theoretical. It has to be.
No.
This is real time. This
yep.
is this
yep.
is what the decision we had to make. This and that helps a person who goes into that career and field understand that these are real time. This,
yep.
You know, but mm-hmm. there is a body of knowledge behind making a decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, you know, you go look at her reviews online. Stacy Knight, I should say her
okay.
name.
Okay. All right. Please do.
And her students love her. And I also, I mean, when she talks about her students, how much she cares about them, which is also a really another really important aspect of teaching.
Yeah.
I'll give you, a little. So my son is a finance director at Texas Instruments, and he also yeah. teaches business classes.
See, perfect.
Because he says, hey, Dad, I want to, you know, they push me on ideas, and then I'm able to help them understand this is what's real life, real time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's invaluable.
And those yep. kids should be pushing the envelope,
oh,
right? Because
sure.
they are the envelope, really, you know, coming through. That's the next generation.
Right.
Now,
tell me again, if I want to know the social networking events in Baltimore, I go to where?
BaltimoreSnap.com.
BaltimoreSnap.com.
And we just kind of came up with it because we thought it was a fun name. You know?
Yeah,
and you
great.
Snap a photo.
Yes.
So I guess,
yeah.
you know, but that's where you find it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I mean,
and you can reach out to me, you know, if you have something that you're interested in listing, you'll see on site there's a form you can fill out. If you, you know, you want me to cover it, you can send me info on
that's
it.
That's right.
Okay. Cool. So, you know, I can't promise, but at least it's in the running.
Well, yes. All
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, when we're not looking at Baltimore Snap for ourselves or pictures of ourselves, which, you know, we'll try and avoid. But I think it's unavoidable when the great Sloan Brown walks up to you and says, "Hey, it's time for your Baltimore snap."
You know, there has been the occasional somebody who goes, "No, I'd prefer not." And I, you know, then they have that right too. And actually, every now and then, in fact, I just had somebody reach out like last week who, from an old, you know, party, wanted me to remove a photo because they were applying for a job. I didn't think it was a bad photo, but it was kind of a fun party. And, you know, again, that's not a problem. My purpose is not to make anybody feel embarrassed or humiliated.
Right.
So, yeah, I generally go to these parties somewhat early for that reason, too, so that we're not dealing with somebody who's three sheets and making a funny face.
Right. Exactly. Get there early.
Exactly.
Before, you know, the... Right. Medicine has been you know, fully consumed at a level that people are all alive. Yeah. So, well, thank you for coming in and sharing some time with us.
I know
you got a busy world and, you know, I loved, you know, hearing your story.
Oh, my.
It's cool.
It really was.
It's cool.
Boulder, Colorado.
You're a pioneer. Yeah. You're a pioneer. You're a total pioneer.
It is funny. When I look back on that, I think, wow, I really did do that. I didn't. I think also, too, at that point, when you think back when you were that age, you know, you don't have as much to lose. So it's kind of like, why not? Uh-huh. You know?
Give it People a try. Say that to me all the time. Why
That's
not?
That's true. Why there not? You go. That's the name of your next podcast.
Yeah, that could be.
See, there you go. Know.
My son came up with this one.
He sure did. You know, says he said he's holy.
I'm not. I love it.
Yeah, you could call it he's holy. I'm not.
But Sloan Brown is. I mean, I'm telling you, she's an angel in our midst. I told you that.
Yeah, holy. Right.
Yes, she is.
I'm using that with my husband the next argument.
Please do,
Terry.
I'm an angel. I'm an angel in the midst.
You are absolutely. Wait, you've been declared holy.
That's right.
Yes.
You know, tell him to be careful.
Right. As I'm yelling.
Yes.
That's exactly right. All right. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. This was really fun.
We'll see you around town.
Yes.
And maybe we'll, you know, Rev.
Oh, you betcha. I see you guys.
I'm going to BaltimoreSnap.com.
There we go. I'm taking your picture next time I run into you guys.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.